Blog Talk Radio.
Not a second for another minute, not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hand to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need you. Needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend I know in me.
Yes, Lord, we need you right away. We need you right now. Hello, UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, located at 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. Come and worship with us. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and join us. and worship with us. You will be blessed. Okay? So, of course, I'm going to ask you to do this that I ask you to do every week, and that's to call your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. You make sure you tell them that. If they don't want to dial in, then they can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram, and just click on the link or on the picture, wherever you see the post of today's show, in order to listen from your computer. Now, on Facebook, if you see the link of today's show, just click on it, no matter what day it is, and you will hear this particular show, the entire show, okay? So that's on Facebook. You can click on it all this week, okay? All righty. Oh, and also, don't forget to tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on hsbn.tv. hsbn.tv. You'll see The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. You can also catch us on YouTube and many other apps at any time this week, okay? So join us. You will also be blessed with that as well. So stay with us. We're going to come back and get right into our message for today. But first, I want you to hear this. This is my good friend Cindy Evans. Use me. From all it seems. asking you to use us. Use us, Lord, so we can keep things real in this deceitful world, Lord, surrounded by people and spirits that are not truthful. Use us, Lord, to bring your truthful word. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. And today's message is called Keeping It Real. Keeping It Real. You see, well, first of all, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the honor, the privilege of speaking your word. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to bring forth your truths, to bring forth your message that you have for the people in this hour. Let your spirit be with me as I present this message, and let your spirit be with those that are listening, that they will get even more out of this message by your spirit than what I'm actually saying. Let them get more from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. The title of today's message, Keeping It Real. Keeping it real seems to be what the world wants to see in people, in our political figures, our church leaders, our employers. People are tired of being lied to, manipulated, controlled, and deceived. Keeping it real to be means to be truthful. Keep it real just means to be truthful. Tell it like it is. When a Christian pastor, evangelist, prophet, preacher, or teacher of God's word speaks, the people want them to keep it real, to tell the truth, and live the truth. You see, you can tell the truth but not live it. But people want to see these men and women of God tell the truth and live the truth. The world is waiting for the real deal, real Christians, real men and women of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. That means they're continually waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the sons of God to be clearly seen, brought to light, the real deal. The world wants to see real, true, powerful, anointed Christians. They may not openly say it, but that's what the world wants to see. They want to see God. And it's our job as Christians to show them God, show them Jesus, Christ in you. That's what the world wants to see. If this Jesus we're preaching about is truly real, then show us Jesus. And that's where our lifestyle, that's our work, our love for each other, for the people comes in, so that we can show them the true love of Jesus Christ. We as Christian leaders are supposed to keep it real. We must show the world who and what is real. Okay, well, what is real, you may ask? Well, the kingdom of God is real. That's why we preach the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, then who is real? The answer, Jesus Christ is real. Understand that. Jesus Christ is real. He is the absolute. He is absolute perfection, absolute peace, absolute might, absolute truth, absolute life, absolute love, absolute power, absolute holiness. And we are to measure all things by Jesus Christ to see if it measures up. If it doesn't measure up to Jesus Christ, then it is an absolute lie. It is an absolute wrong. No matter who it is or what it is, it has to measure up to the pure truth, and Jesus Christ is truth. If the world's so-called truth doesn't measure up to Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God made flesh, then they are liars, and their truth is in reality a falsehood. Some people use the phrase keeping it real in a negative sense. You know, like I'll give you an example. When you hear a Christian say things like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I drink and I smoke and I use drugs and I will cuss you out. I'll lie and cheat, commit fornication. I will be violent toward you. I will not forgive you. And if I had a gun, I will shoot you if you cross me. Then they say, but I've been a Christian all my life. I believe in Jesus, and I go to church every Sunday. You know, I'm just keeping it real. That's what they say. They say that. They've been a Christian all their lives, but yet they do all these type of things. You know, when they say that they are just keeping it, when they say that they're just keeping it real, this is really an excuse to keep on sinning. If you come across a person that says that they're Christians, but yet they're doing these type of things, and then they turn around and tell you that, you know, hey, I'm just keeping it real. I'm not trying to be like some of these fake Christians, you know. Well, you're judging the fake Christians, but you're no different. It's just that what you're doing, you're out front with it. And the fake Christians do it on a down low. They cover it up, but both of you are still sinning. It's still wrong. God can still see it. So you can say, I'm just keeping it real all you want to, but you're using that as an excuse to continue that lifestyle. Another example is when a Christian, any Christian, male or female, anybody, including pastors, evangelists, apostles, or a prophet, if they come and they secretly confess to someone that they're gay and then turn around and say, hey, it is what it is, you know, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just telling you, I'm struggling with homosexuality and, you know, and I do this and I do that occasionally, you know. Well, first of all, usually when they go to someone to confess this, they usually go to the person that they know are kind of having a struggle themselves with the same thing. So they go over there to confess that sin to them for comfort. Understand that. People that are really sincere, and if they're really struggling with different things, homosexuality or whatever, and if they really are sincere and they really want out, they will go to someone that they know is a strong Christian who will not pull any punches and who will always tell them the truth and give them good advice. They won't go to some other people that's going through the same thing that they're going through just to get comforted. Understand that. And there are people that have confessed different sins to other people, and they were sincere. They wanted out, and they went to the right people, the right Christians, and got good, sound advice, and they were delivered. They took the advice and was delivered. And there are those that are struggling with different things, and they keep on living that lifestyle till it's not a struggle anymore. They give in to it. And they stay in their sin, and they call it keeping it real. And they have no intentions of changing or seeking help. They put themselves deeper in bondage to their sin because there's no repentance in this kind of keeping it real. If you're using keeping it real in that sense, there's no repentance. Have you ever heard people say things like, God isn't finished with me yet? You heard that, right? And many other people who hear other people say that, they sign up with them and they agree with them because, you know, they're kind of in their sin too, so they need comfort. And while they're in their sin, they need to be comfortable in their sin. So when they hear people say, God isn't finished with me yet, They'll turn around and say, yeah, that's right. God's not finished with me yet. Therefore, they stay comfortable in their sins, thinking it's okay because God isn't finished with me yet. Duh. When you think about it, God isn't finished with all of us yet. Christian or non-Christian, he's not finished with us yet, and especially the Christian. As it is written in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you can't use that as an excuse to stay in a lifestyle of sin and call it keeping it real. That's not keeping it real. It's called keeping it wrong. And many world-minded Christians have this mindset. You want to keep it real? Then let's go to the root of all the problems in our nation, in the world, in our country, in our counties. You know, even our counties, our states, in our cities, and in our neighborhoods, even in our own bodies. The root of all problems are evil spirits. Disembodied spirits that seek to enter into your bodies and your minds and take control. They want to enter into your home and dwell there, your cities, your country, and take charge. These disembodied spirits, these are the same spirits that were way back in the days of Noah after the flood. The people died, but their spirits remained. And the people that had died were those who had subjected themselves to Satan. And Satan became their god. So when their bodies died, their spirits remained, and God kept them in subjection to Satan. That's why demons do Satan's will. They're evil. They're disembodied spirits. They're evil spirits. And they need bodies to dwell in. That's why they try to possess your body. They need bodies to dwell in. Some of these evil spirits and disembodied spirits, some of them hang around in the most Christians call the second heaven, which is that realm right around the earth where demons usually dwell. Some of them dwell under the earth, but they're subjected to the earth. And they're in subjection to Satan. They are under Satan's rule because that's who they subjected themselves to when they were in human bodies. So now that their bodies died in the flood, their spirits continue to be disembodied spirits, just hanging around trying to inhabit people's bodies. That's where your demons come from, in case you're wondering. They're not the fallen angels that a lot of people try to say they are. The fallen angels are in chains right now, to this very day. Read the book of Jude. They're in chains right now. But these disembodied spirits are running free upon the earth, seeking bodies to inhabit, to possess. That's what's going on with that. They want to enter into you. So now I'm talking to you, worldly people. Now, Christians, you can take heed to this too, but I'm actually right now, I'm going to talk to worldly people. Do you want to keep it real? Really keep it real? Then ask yourself, why do you think the way you do? Why are you self-centered, evil, prejudiced, greedy, fearful, perverted, violent, deceptive, prideful, full of hate and unforgiveness? Why? Why do you run from God? Why is it that you don't want to hear or know anything that pertains to Jesus Christ, our Lord? Anytime somebody brings up something about Jesus, you don't want to hear it. You just don't want to be a part of it. Why? Why? Because you are all influenced by demons. People of the world, you may not know this, but this is the truth, and you might get mad at me for saying it, but you're influenced by demons. And so are Christians if they give in to these things. You're influenced by demons, evil spirits, ghosts, goblins, gremlins, devils. It's all the same. They're evil spirits. You have allowed these spirits to forge your path, control your destiny, call all the plays in your life, which leads you to a path of self-destruction. Jesus is our Savior, which means he is our deliverer, and he can and will deliver you from all of these things, even from our own fallen natured bodies. You know, our own bodies, our own mindsets that work against us at times, our inward sins and iniquities, if you allow him to. But let's keep it real. Most people don't want him to. Yep, that's right. You want to keep it real? Let's keep it real. They love their lifestyle of sin, and they will die in their lifestyle of sin if they do not repent. The Lord is so gracious because he allows you grace, a grace period, to repent. The Lord would not tell us to repent if he wasn't going to forgive us. If he wasn't going to forgive us, he could care less if you repented or if it was impossible to do. So turn from your sins and turn to God. That's true repentance. You turn from the sin and you turn to God. That's true repentance. It's more than just saying, I'm sorry. You can say, I'm sorry all day, and for that moment, you probably are sorry. But the next moment, you're doing it again. But when you truly repent, you're turning from the sin, and you're turning to God. Acts 37, verse, Acts 1, 2, verse 37 and 38. Now, when they heard this, when they heard Peter preach about Jesus, that's what I'm saying, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's the first thing he said, repent. What does that mean? Turn from the sin and turn to God. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. A lot of people take that lightly when we tell them to be baptized, but you have to be baptized in water. Baptized in water. He said, every one of you have to be in the name, you're being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're baptized in water and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are very important processes. These are very important steps that every man has to go through. Every man, woman, and child has to go through this. It is very important. When you repent, it must be a real, true repentance. And if you haven't been baptized, I'm talking to you Christians now, if you haven't been baptized, but yet you've received the Lord in your life, get baptized and then receive the Holy Spirit. All of this, like I said, is extremely important, more than you even know. This is how you keep it real. And if you need further convincing, then let me tell you what keeping it real really is. Here's keeping it real. John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, which means in the eternal past, the eternal present, and the eternal future, which is the eternal now. Because God is always in the now. When he's in the now, that means he's in past, present, and future. He is the now God. The Word was there. The Word was there. The Word is from everlasting to everlasting. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Don't overlook that. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. God's word is his desire, his will, his order, his command, his law, his proclamation, his declaration, his prophecy. His word is him. And when his word is released, God became the source of his word, which was made flesh, which made God the Father of his word. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's word is power, strength, might, energy. God's word is creative. God's word is life. It's light. God's word is light. He is love. God's word is love. God's word is wisdom, knowledge, understanding. God's word is the highly intelligent force that causes existence. God's word is miracles, signs, and wonders. God's word is spirit. God's word is spirit. It's his wind, his breath, his air. God's word is spirit. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth or give life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word is Jesus Christ. He is the living word. Come on, let's keep it real. I'm not finished. Let's keep it real. This living word became flesh so that people could touch the word, talk directly to the word. They could handle the word, and the word could physically touch them, heal them, deliver them, provide for them, and raise them from the dead. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. He healed them all because he was the tangible word of God that people could see and touch. The word is called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and all we have to do is believe in him and obey him. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him, continually believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, God gave himself for the world. Jesus was and is God in the flesh. He is God's tangible word. That's why God will not allow anyone to come to him unless they come to him through Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. That's in John 14, verse 6. No other religion, no other people, no other spirits, philosophies, teachings or doctrines, cultures or ways of life can lead you to the Father. All other ways are false. They are deceptions and lies. They are all deadly. Any other way that you try to get to God the Father, you're not going through Jesus Christ. It's a lie. It's deception, and it's deadly. The only place that these false teachings and All of that comes, the only thing that that's going to bring you is going to lead you directly to hell. God did a very good thing. Our God, our Savior, our Father in heaven, he did a very good thing, a great thing for his people. He became a man and died for us. God became a man so that men can become gods, little G-O-D gods. He didn't become a man so that men can become God. No. Remember, he wants us to be as he is. So we're little gods, little G-O-Ds. That's what he wants us to be. That's why we're called the sons of God. God became the Son of God so that men can become sons of God in God's likeness and image. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this is the great work that God did for us without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God loves us so much that he gave his own life so that we can be one with him. That's love. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus also called himself the good shepherd because he laid down his life for his sheep. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We are keeping it real, right? Right? Isn't that what we're doing? That's what I'm doing. I'm keeping it real. Let's continue. Here's keeping it real. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If you want things to change in this world, if you truly want to help people make a difference in your life and in the lives of others, then love the people. Really love the people. Love your neighbor the way Jesus loves us. This is not an impossibility. It's not anything that's impossible to do. If it were, then he would not have commanded us to do it. He commanded us. Therefore, we must obey and love each other. If the Lord commanded you to do something, knowing that you have a free will to either obey his command or not obey, that means we have a free will. Then if he commanded it, that means we have a choice. We can either obey the Lord or not obey the Lord. Love is a choice. And if he commanded us to love, that means he wants us to choose to love. Love. Keeping it real is loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. If you can do this, if you can do these things, then you have fulfilled all the law. You have fulfilled all the law. If you can love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, there's no condemnation for you. You have fulfilled that which is required by God. If you can do that. And this is a choice. Love is a choice. To love is a choice. You can say it to the Father even now and say, Lord, I choose to love you. You can say that to your neighbor, your family members, your friends, and even strangers. I choose to love you because it's a choice. And the Lord commanded us to do this. So if you are choosing to love someone, choosing to love the Lord, you are obeying his command. So do this. It's a great blessing for you if you make up your mind to love God, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. If you make up your mind to do that, it's a great blessing that's going to be upon you, and it's going to be upon your household. And those that come around you can even get the benefit of the blessing that's upon you because you truly love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you have chosen to love your neighbor as yourself. This is keeping it real. So if somebody wants you to start keeping things real, you tell them who the real deal is. You tell them Jesus Christ is the real. And if you want, and if they want you to keep it real, then you tell them about Jesus Christ. Open your hearts. Prepare yourselves, Christians, because it is time. Time for us to release the Lord Jesus Christ. Give such as you have. If you have the Lord in your life, then give him out. Give Jesus to the world because so many people really need him in this hour. So many people that are suffering in ways that we can't physically help people. We can't help them all, but we know Jesus can. So we give them such as we have. We give them the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the amount, whatever the portion of the Holy Spirit that God has given to you, you share it. You give it out. You give it out so that others can be blessed. And the Lord will just keep replenishing you, replenishing, replenishing, strengthening you, giving you more of his Spirit, anointing you more and more. Give what you got. Give what you have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hallelujah. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and now it is time for our scriptures for the week. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Here's another one for you, and that's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Here's another one. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And now, and also the last one is John chapter 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. Praise the Lord. That's the scriptures for this week. Praise God. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you. Stop the Lord Almighty.
stop, Lord Almighty? Who can stop, Lord Almighty?
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you all for tuning in. I pray that these programs that we're on here, UCA Radio, Christian Talk, and some of our other programs on YouTube, I pray that they're a blessing to all of you. Tell your friends and family members to tune in and be blessed. We take the time to go before the Lord to bring forth good messages that will help you wax strong in the spirit and grow, help you to learn more and more about our Savior so that you can fall in love with him that much more. So thank you for tuning in. Remember, we are here every week with UCA Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Pacific, okay? And that will be 6 p.m. Eastern. And just check your time zone, no matter where you live, anywhere in the world. Check your time zone and dial in 646-668-8537. Or just click on your computer. If you're on Facebook, you'll see our post, and just go ahead and listen to the program all this week. Just keep clicking on it and listen to the entire program today. And we just pray that it's been a blessing to you. And we will continue. We will be here on Wednesday also, Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific, which means that it will be 11 p.m. Eastern. So once again, check your time zone wherever you are in the world and dial in or listen from your computer, okay? So God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in. And, we will see you next week. And remember, if you hold on to Jesus, you will always be a winner. You will win. Praise the Lord.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character.